As we heard earlier, NPR's got a crew of reporters and producers on the ground in China. They were there preparing special reports on the changing face of that country ahead of the Olympics this summer. On Monday, they found themselves reporting a very different kind of story.
What's going on? The whole building is shaking. The whole building is shaking. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We're in the middle of an earthquake?
Earthquake,
the whole block is shaking.
Yeah.
Pieces. The top of the church is falling down. The ground is shaking underneath our feet, and all of the people are running out in the street.
That's NPR's Melissa Block describing the moment the 7.9 earthquake hit. The devastation is massive. State agencies say the death toll from the quake is now close to 12,000, and that number is likely to soar as rescue and recovery efforts continue. Thousands of people are still trapped inside buildings or buried in the rubble. NPR producer Andrea Hsu was with Melissa Block when the quake struck, and she joins me now on the line from Chengdu, the capital city of Sichuan province. Andrea, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You were doing an interview, you and Melissa, with a Christian pastor at a seminary outside of Chengdu when the ground started just shaking. Melissa, in that tape, sounds relatively calm, although she has a sense of urgency. Describe what was going through your head at that moment.
Right. We were actually in Chengdu, in the city, at the seminary. And we had just sat down for this interview with Pastor Tsai, and I was recording it, and she was just getting into introducing him, and I remember him saying that he teaches about the Gospel of John, and she said, Gospel of John? He said, yes, John, and all of a sudden we heard this rumble, and one of his assistants first ran out of the room, he followed, they didn't say anything, but I could see the ceiling shaking, and we ran outside, and everybody was pouring out of the building, and I could see the car shaking and the ground beneath our feet was shaking. And just listening to that tape just now, I just hadn't listened back, even though I fed the tape yesterday. I hadn't listened to it at all. I didn't have time. And it just kind of gave me the chills just listening to it and remembering what I was feeling at that time.
From there, the both of you went to a middle school in a neighboring city where literally hundreds of children, of students, were trapped inside this school that had been destroyed. That must have been a harrowing scene.
That was truly one of the most awful things I've ever seen. We had hired two cars to drive us northwest towards the city of Dujiangyan, and we knew that the school had collapsed. And Melissa and I arrived on the site with our driver, and there were just hundreds of parents. It was dark already. It started to rain. They were just sitting there, waiting, standing, watching as these cranes were lifting, trying to lift massive chunks of concrete. And we stopped to talk to a few of the parents, and a lot of them were just desperate for information. They weren't getting any information. They said they'd been there for hours, and the first few hours, the People's Armed Police had arrived. They were the rescuers, but they didn't have any equipment with them. And then it soon became apparent that behind us, there were actually families who were already grieving the loss of their sons or daughters. These were bodies that had been pulled out of the wreckage and laid on the ground and identified, and they were setting up these sort of makeshift altars, burning incense, burning paper money. We heard firecrackers going off. That's to scare off the ghosts. It was just a horrible, horrible scene, and we saw several bodies of children being carried out by rescuers and laid on the ground, and family members realizing it was their loved one, and it's a horrible scene.
I know you've probably been out reporting today. What have you seen?
Well, this morning we drove northwards away from the, we didn't drive towards the epicenter because we heard that those roads were completely blocked off and that rescuers were having to go in by foot. So we drove northwards towards Beichuan County, where we heard that there were thousands of deaths and 80% of the buildings had been toppled. And we got pretty close to Beichuan County. We saw, you know, as the further we went, the more devastation we saw. First, it was sort of just tile roofs that had collapsed, and then later on, it was whole homes that had collapsed. But it was interesting because, you know, along the way, we saw some buildings that were actually pretty much intact. And our translator, one of the guys who went with us today, said those buildings were built in the 50s. Actually, they're very good construction. They were brick. They look solid. Mm. And a lot of the newer construction was what had fallen down.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped in this village, and the first boy I talked to was a 14-year-old boy who was standing on the side of the road with a bamboo pole, and his foot was swollen and had these horrible blisters. And he said that He'd been at home yesterday. Bricks had toppled onto him. He went out to find his grandmother. They walked for 3 or 4 hours, spent the night somewhere, and he'd gotten on a motorcycle this morning and come to this town to look for medical help. And it turned out he had a fractured foot. And he walked on that yesterday for 3 or 4 hours.
I imagine there's so many stories like that. Andrew, are there medical tents that have been set up? How are these people getting, the survivors, how are they getting medical treatment? And what's the larger picture of the rescue and recovery effort?
You know, we didn't get a chance to talk to rescuers today, but as we were driving back to Chengdu to file some of to file the reports that Melissa had done, we saw lots of convoys of army soldiers driving northwards towards that area. And we must have seen at least a dozen, if not 2 dozen, buses full of soldiers going northward. We saw trucks that looked like they had supplies on them. But in that village that, you know, the town that we stopped in today, there was just the local clinic, which was, you know, just one village doctor, you know, and just, you know, he brought a bench outside to treat that patient. And, you know, he said that he would have to be taken elsewhere to have his foot set.
In one of Melissa's reports, Andrea, she talked about the anger that has been expressed by many people that she has talked with. I'm sure that you've been with her when she's been doing those interviews. Who is that anger directed to?
That was mainly last night at the school, and we were first, I mean, at first the parents actually seemed very grateful to have somebody to talk to, but then the police actually stopped us and asked us if we had permission to be there and said, you know, these people are going through so much, don't anger them, don't, you know, they're grieving, don't make it worse. But I think that that was stemming from this general anger at the Western media over recent coverage of the Tibet events and also events related to the torch relay. And I think in general, Western media is regarded as, you know, sort of the enemy.
Suspect,
in a way.
Yeah.
All we want to do is negative reports. So I had to explain to them, you know, we're just trying to get this story out. And, you know, we're sorry if there's been a misunderstanding, and we offered to leave, and they detained us for a few minutes. And I just said, you know, please, please, you have much more important things to deal with. And so eventually they let us leave, and I put the equipment away, and we were able to walk around for a little bit more without the equipment.
That's NPR's Andrea Hsu. She's on the ground in Chengdu, China, where she, along with a team of NPR reporters and producers, have been reporting on the massive earthquake that rocked that country. Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
Next on the show, Anthony Pelicano, Hollywood private eye, being tried on federal racketeering charges. The trial has been making headlines, but the question is, do you care? We'll do a little Make Me Care segment about Anthony Pelicano next. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.